President Obama has been in office just 3 years, and already he has signed into law one of the largest stimulus packages, well, really, in American history. It is a complex bill offering everything from green energy to school construction to money for the states to help protect firefighters and police officers and teachers. It also includes, at the Republicans' insistence, a $70 billion tax cut for those in the upper middle class. It is a very complex bill. And here to explain the bill and tell us, is it too large? Is it large enough? Is it all the pork that Republicans say it is Congressman Van Hollen. He represents suburban Maryland, the bordering District of Columbia. Congressman Van Hollen, welcome to the show. Let me start with the question of what is in the bill. I understand it's 1,100 pages. I don't expect you to tell me all 1,100 pages right now. But give me, in essence, what this bill is all about.
Sure, let me give you the broad strokes. I mean, this is a $790 billion package that includes two major components. One is investments. In other words, investments that the federal government will make in infrastructure, roads, bridges, green energy infrastructure, that kind of thing. The other component would be tax relief. President Obama talked during the campaign about his proposal to provide 95% of working Americans with some tax relief. He followed through with that in this plan. There are also provisions for small business tax incentives. And then there's a whole category of investments in this bill that relate to providing help to those who need it the most at this point in time. For example, extended unemployment compensation for people who have lost their jobs through no fault of their own, can't find another job. It allows them to put food on the table and make the rent for a longer period of time than they would otherwise. Another provision allows them to get a little bit of help, a little bit of subsidy to pay for health insurance, because right now under our system, if you lose your job, you lose your health care. And so we tried to write into this bill provisions to provide those kind of folks who are really down and out with a little bit of help. It's not just good for them. I mean, it's the right thing to do to help them. But it's also necessary for the economy, because when more and more people lose their jobs, obviously that they lose their ability to go out and pay rent and purchase things, and that means less goods and services purchased, and that means other businesses that can't sell their products. And so you have this vicious downward spiral. So the overall purpose of this bill is to save or create 3.5 to 4 million jobs around the country by making these investments and putting a little bit more money in people's pockets.
Congressman, there's two major arguments against the bill, one from the right and one from the left. Republicans argue that it's full of pork, full of needless spending, full of a Democratic Congress basically throwing in everything but the kitchen sink. And then many on the left argue that it doesn't go far enough, that the hole we're in, the greatest depression since the Great Depression, that it doesn't have enough stimulative effect to get us out of that hole. And indeed, it's weighted, particularly with the AMT provision, alternative minimum tax provision, it's weighted too much towards the wealthy. Let me start with the Republican criticism, and then we'll get to the criticism from the left. The Republicans say it's full of pork. Are they right?
They're wrong. And in fact, if you look through this bill, you won't find one single earmark. In other words, the funds in these bills are directed on the investment side, for example, to states and local governments who then have to go through a competitive process to determine what the priorities are. In the case of roads and bridges, a list of shovel-ready projects that are the priorities for the state. In other words, Congress didn't dive into this and say, hey, we think that this road in this state needs this money. We went through the regular process by saying we're going to devote these funds for this purpose, but allowing the competitive process to work. So the fact of the matter is, no earmarks in this bill. Now, you can pick anything out of a major bill like this and make an argument, or try and make an argument, that it doesn't do anything to stimulate the economy. The problem is, when you're talking about government investments, you're by the very nature of things, stimulative. Now, some things may be more stimulative than others, and economists will argue about what is the most efficient expenditure of money to get a certain stimulative effect. But I think overall economists from all sides of the political spectrum have said that this will boost the economy, that it will provide for more jobs and also certainly save jobs. So, again, when you've got a forest, you can always pick out one tree that for whatever reason you don't think is a good expenditure of money. And there may be some things in here that I would say, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have chosen. But I think taken together, this provides a very important boost to the economy and is put in the right area.
Well, Congressman, let me ask you about the forest rather than the trees. Some economists look at the forest and say it's not happening fast enough, that a lot of this money is not coming out till 2010, maybe a quarter of it's going out 2011 and beyond. How do you deal with the argument that, all right, some of this package is stimulative, but it's happening too late in the process to really make a difference in this recession we're in?
Well, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, said that 60% of the funds in this bill would be expended by a year from September. Now, you may argue that that's too short a time frame. Here's the challenge. I mean, the challenge is making sure you get money out the door quickly, but also that you do it in a way that makes sense. I mean, you don't want to just take the money and throw it up in the air. And this represents the best balance of getting money out there into the economy quickly, making sure that we can put those dollars in the economic bloodstream, but do so in a way that makes sense and is not literally throwing money away. This was a particular challenge when it came to infrastructure projects. I mean, I think maybe we could have done a little more on the infrastructure side, but people can fairly point out on the other side that we have sort of hit the limit. If you put more money in infrastructure, you run into an even bigger problem along the lines you're talking about. In other words, then you're talking about projects where they may be big projects and they may be good projects, but where the spend-out rate is slower. So we tried to maximize the fast spend-out rate and investments that make sense from the point of view of the economy.
And we're going to get to your calls in just a moment. I want a chance to ask Congressman a few more questions before I get to you, but hang on the line. I promise we are going to get to your calls. Congressman, the argument on the left, and I think Paul Krugman is probably the one that's most famous for this argument, is that you haven't gone far enough, that economists project a $3 trillion hole in the economy, and even though $790 billion is a very, very large sum of money, that it doesn't go far enough. You mentioned perhaps not as much infrastructure spending as we hoped. A lot of people say, particularly on the left, that a lot of the tax cuts that are going to the upper middle class, to the rich, things like the alternative minimum tax cut that the Republicans put in the Senate, are not going to stimulate the economy, and that we need more money, more jobs, more money, for example, to states. I know the Republicans cut down a lot of that money. Maybe this bill just doesn't go far enough. How do you respond to those critics?
Well, let me first say that with respect to comments that Paul Krugman has made, because I was actually on a show back-to-back with him the other night, and I want to emphasize that he said that if we did not pass this bill, quote, all hell would break loose. So he certainly said that this bill was absolutely necessary. He has said that he thinks that it could be larger. And certainly, as you say, there are other economists that say, given the fact that we have about a $2 trillion hole in the demand side right now in the economy, that you need to be putting even more in. And look, I would say two things. Number one, this was a very, very healthy start. We'll have to monitor the situation and determine what more, if anything, may be necessary.
So this may not be the end. We may do more.
Well, we certainly hope it's the end, but only the economy will be able to tell us how things are going. And as the president has said, we can't expect things to turn around overnight. We've been digging this hole for a very long time. It'll take some time to climb out of it. But we're hoping that this will at least begin to first slow the fall, the steepness of the fall, and then hopefully it will begin to pull us out. But we won't know that, obviously, for some time.
Congressman, does the bill do anything to help Americans who are either having their houses foreclosed or under the threat of foreclosure, or is that supposed to come from the financial stimulus bill?
Let me say, there are some provisions in here. There's the home funding, the rental housing project on the construction side. There are some things in this bill, including homelessness prevention dollars, that are designed to keep people in their homes and prevent them from being thrown out. That having been said, when you're talking about the big dollars, those are expected to come in the second round of the TARP money. And as Secretary Geithner has said, that's going to be the first thing that he goes into detail about. And I think we're going to be hearing from him next week with what I hope will be a very clear and solid plan to really address that issue using the $350 billion, a big portion of the $350 billion remaining in the TARP fund.
I want to ask you about also the green jobs provision of the bill, the energy bill. President Obama says that this bill will take us at a first step to getting off our dependence on foreign oil. How specifically does this bill help us become more energy independent?
Sure. And let me, I'll get that in 1 minute, but you raised the AMT twice. And so
go ahead, please.
Address the alternative minimum tax issue. And I think most of your listeners probably know what that is, but it is a tax that was put in place decades ago to try and make sure that people who were very wealthy didn't use all sorts of deductions to escape any tax liability. But it was never indexed for inflation, and over a period of time, a lot of people who are middle-income taxpayers have been caught up in this. And so year by year, Congress has delayed at least the most sort of egregious effects of this. What people have said, and I think they're right, is that it's not stimulus, but you have to be careful as to why they say it's not stimulus. They say it's not stimulus because people expect the Congress to take care of that issue this year anyway, because